Here we go. We are back with hour number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Got a TD Tuesday segment all geared up for you. It's been a massive day of sports conversation already. And, you know, we can't go much further without getting a full audio celebration of the football weekend that was. You had college football semifinals and then an epic super wild card weekend. And for the recap on all the gold, it's our guys Wolchuk and Chiafalo with some TD Tuesday.
All right, let's do it. The best audio that we could find, the best touchdown calls in college and pro football. TD Tuesday.
Boom shakalak.
Boom shakalak. Boom shakalak. TD Tuesday shakalak.
And we start with some college football playoff TDs, where the Ole Miss Rebels, they came in red hot. Boom. Kawan Lacy, are you kidding me? 73 yards to pay dirt.
Up the middle, Lacy, he breaks into clear. He may go. He's to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Ole Miss, right up the gut. We talked about that in the pregame, that you might hurt Miami right in the middle.
Mm. What a run it was. And after the game, you had Ray Lewis hanging out, talking to Lacy, giving him some love. It was beautiful. Shout out to Ole Miss Radio with the call. Won't get to hear from them again this year.
Mm. No, we will not. No, we will not. We are now down to two. I'm curious how the IU radio call is.
They were much better this week. Were usually they? They're a little subdued. This week, they might be pretty sexy, but I'll tell you what, Brian, I like a good Spanish call.
Absolutely.
We be in.
Yep. Let's go to Malachi Tony. Hey, how about this? Miami Hurricane Radio.
Ya la tiene nuevamente. Dispara hacia la izquierda. Completa con Tony. Se escapó Tony. Sigue Tony. Por el centro Tony. Sigue Malachi Tony. Señoras y señores. Y touchdown Miami. Touchdown los huracanes. Con alma de niño y corazón de elefante. Jesus, Malachi in the house.
You call it baby Jesus?
Yeah, that was his nickname in high school.
Wow.
Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus, I'm not even kidding
that's
you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely, that's a true incredible freshman monster beast
that
right
is,
there.
That is a monster beast. How about this next one? How about the G-Bag Nation's favorite player, San Francisco's own McCaffrey, gets a big-time touchdown.
Brock Purdy under center. He's got Christian McCaffrey behind him. Sky Moore in motion. It's a trick play. They give it to Moore. Now flip to Juwan Jennings. End around. Jennings throws it to McCaffrey. And he's got it. McCaffrey caught it for the touchdown. Touchdown, 49ers. And that is the 49ers' own Philly special. Mm. McCaffrey spikes the ball into the ground. And the 49ers have tied the game.
Mm. It was a flag on the play, wasn't there?
Flag on the play.
Yeah, flag?
Was, yeah, defensive, I guess. I think
was it
was offside?
Yeah, it was a defensive penalty. Yeah. Yeah, it was. But hey, shit, what a play call that was. What? Yeah, that was close. But
that was a close S-bomb.
That was close. Didn't really, it was like a slurring of the words there. Haven't had anything to drink just yet. Juwan Jennings to CMC was brilliant. Thank you to the 49ers. I don't know which play-by-play guy that was, but he tried to do a little papa in there.
I think it was Guy, wasn't it? Guy something
they've
or
been rotating like three or four different ones.
They got a bunch of different guys rolling in there.
Maybe they stuck with the best guy for the playoffs, I'd like to think. But we can do some research on maybe it was Guy. Maybe it was Guy. All right, let's go to Buffalo, where nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. You think that the Jags let Josh Allen score? So did they.
There's the snap. There's the surge. And I think they largely let him score on purpose. There was not much impedance there as Josh Allen is in for the one-yard touchdown run to give the Bills the lead. With 102 left in the game.
It looked like the one guy was trying to pull him in, and one of the defensive tackles just gave up on the tush push before that. Like, they were looking for a first down at the 12, and they were like, no, big fella, get on in here. Mm. Didn't work. Allen came down on the half-yard line, so they made damn sure he was in on the next one. I think it's genius. It's about time they had the stones to let the other damn team score before they run the clock
let
out.
Let him score!
Yeah, that was a crazy one, the one before, where it's like a 10-yard QB sneak.
Yeah.
He was going transformer
and
mode.
I can't wait for this thing to be over. Like, since midseason, when somebody defined, I forget who it was, but said the biggest problem with this tush push, it's impossible to officiate.
Do we let the play keep going? Do we cut it early? Like, there's no good way.
I think Buffalo was a team that voted against it. They were one of the stand-ups that we don't want this anymore, and here they are using it.
I'm ready for it to be over.
Yep. Yeah, me too. I think we're finally going to be done with it. All right, now we head to Carolina where Bryce Young is feeling himself. Jalen Coker, let's do this thing.
Ooh. Young out of the gun. Here's the snap. Bryce looking left, throws. Deep left corner, the end zone! Jalen Coker hauls it in for a touchdown! And the Panthers have the lead with 2:39 to go. Bryce Magic is real, and Coker has played the game of his life.
Yeah, he really did play the game of his life.
It was.
Look, Bryce was fantastic.
Yeah. One of the all-time playoff moral victories that I could remember.
It was. It was one of those that, gosh, they were so close.
Got you to 8-9, right?
Couldn't quite get it done.
There you go, right?
Christian Kirk game of his life last night, too. I think it was 8 for a $1.45 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I turned around.
He was dialed in, man.
Yeah. How about this next one, though? Guy with, what, a pink cell phone? Is that what we're talking about?
Pink phones?
Throwing touchdown passes to DJ Moore.
Caleb in the gun. Swift to his left. Snap back, four-man rush. Caleb with a double move. Throw down the left sideline. DJ Moore inside the five. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. They've taken the lead on the Packers with 1:43 to go. 25 yards. The same connection. Week 16. A walk-off win. This connection. A three-point lead. Wow.
Heck of a play. Bears Radio with the call. Their play-by-play guy is
one of the nicest human beings ever, and they'll continue to win because they wrote us a nice letter.
They wrote us a handwritten letter.
Handwritten letter to us.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's all it takes.
All it takes.
Yeah, hospitality through the roof with those guys. And that was a great play. That's a fake screen.
It was.
Yeah. Right? And it just, it opened up beautifully.
They wheeled that thing up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that guy's was hot.
A ball player caller, man. That guy, right?
Ben Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a ball player caller of all time. Okay, let's get you to, here's Jordan Love. He's trying to make plays. Matthew Golden, the rookie first-round wide receiver
first
out of
touchdown.
Texas. First touchdown, and this is about as sexy as it gets.
In the shotgun, they get motion out of the backfield. Quick toss, Golden, right side, got some blocking. Accelerates, 20, spinning his way, 15.
That's
takes a tackle,
away.
10, to the 5, cuts it back.
Touchdown!
Touchdown! Touchdown, Matthew Golden, his first career NFL touchdown, and a backbreaker delivered by the rookie out of Texas. Wow, that was awesome.
Oh, sorry about the backbreaker there.
Yeah. Oh, Wayne.
It's like a back bruise.
Oh, Wayne Larrabee. At least he didn't pull out the dagger.
Come on, Wayne.
You know, the dagger would have really looked bad.
That will finish the Bears once and for all.
He was thinking about the dagger call and just couldn't bring himself to it.
Yep. All right, let's get to Indiana. Here it is. First play of the game.
Tiny corner.
You can't draw it up any better. Go get my guy, D'Angelo Pons.
Here's Dante Moore ready to take the snap. Drops back, throws the football. It's
there we go.
Intercepted. D'Angelo Pons. Touchdown. Unbelievable. D'Angelo Pons intercepts the first throw of the ball game, and this crowd is going absolutely mad.
Yeah, that sounded like an Indiana home game right there. It sure did.
Yeah.
And the Indiana's been so good that now you have the random internet Twitter accounts that are alleging there's some type of tomfoolery, Spygate stuff that's going on within the program.
Are we kind of?
It's the only way they can rationalize Indiana being this incredible.
Are we stealing game film? Is that what
they're hacking
doing?
Into the cloud and watching practice tape and things? That's the theory.
Yeah,
that is very reckless. But Indiana continues to dominate, and here we go. It's Fernando Mendoza. He just got the TD on D. Let's flip it over to the offense and find pay dirt.
Second down and actually three. And here's the snap back, and Fernando again looks to throw it. Now he's going deep, way deep, and the catch is made. What a play! Guess who?
That was a great throw, great catch. I mean, that's full extension right there. Thought he was covered. Becker was covered. He's been playing pretty well for them down this stretch here.
Yeah, all their guys have leveled up. Whatever they used to be, they are
like when they were 10, James Madison. Their rating
on the video game.
Charlie Becker did it again. It's just like the growl that they'll get sometimes. But Indiana was definitely a lot more excited. They certainly were. All right, let's get to the Jags. One of your former stomping grounds there, Brian.
Still have the rain suit.
They got excited. They were really in their playoff bag. Typically, we haven't played a ton of Jacksonville highlights this year because their calls have not been great. But
Frank Frangie.
Frank did a good job. Here was T-Law finding Parker.
Second down from the six, dropping is Trevor, looking, still looking. Now fires toward the back of the end zone. The ball's going to be caught! Touchdown, back of the end zone! Parker Washington! Trevor stuck it in there! Parker caught it for the score! How good is that?
Just gave me a little bit of Gene vibes. And I miss you, Gene.
It was a Gene vibe. I was thinking.
Looking. That Parker Washington is a freaking dog.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Virginia transfer to Penn State.
Penn State, yeah.
I mean, the tape was pretty good for him, but my gosh, he has really excelled in Jacksonville. They found themselves a good one.
All right, let's see if Frank Frangie can go 2-for-2 here. It's once again Trevor Lawrence dropping back, looking, and who does he find? The running back, Travis Etienne.
First down at the 14 of Buffalo. 4:17 to play. Trevor under center. Etienne, the running back. Play fake. Trevor rolling to the right. Looking. Dumps it to Etienne. Travis has it to the 10. Broke a tackle. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Travis Etienne scored a 14-yard touchdown from Trevor Lawrence. Jacksonville's retaking the lead. How good is that?
Oh, it was so good until it wasn't good enough.
It wasn't the backbreaker or the dagger.
It was just good enough. Just good enough to lose.
It's a bummer.
About J.B. Long here, our buddy there at the Rams. He's going to give you the call of this Colby Parkinson's touchdown.
From the 19, Stafford has it helmet high, settles his feet, shoots right side, leaping catch, touchdown L.A.
Wow!
At the front, right, pylon, Colby Parkinson gives the Rams the lead. With 38 seconds to go, an absolute dot from Stafford, 33-31, and the try coming.
So is that the color guy who doesn't turn his mic on but is yelling in the background, then turns his mic on?
That's right.
And you can just hear him in the background like, God, ball,
it's
yeah!
DeMarco. Is DeMarco Farr?
I think he's their sideline reporter.
Okay, so who else? There's
so I don't know who is the guy who performs their color analyst.
I thought DeMarco was in the – is he sideline? I thought – who's in the box with that, with JB?
Let's see. I'm going to find out.
I don't know, but that was a heck of a throw and catch right there because it was good coverage. Wasn't that Trayvon Merrigan coverage right there on Parkinson?
Yeah, it was just
beautiful.
And he was trying to force him out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah. It was that was a dot there from Matthew Stafford. All right,
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, MJD. Yeah. That's right. The bowling ball.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
How about it? All right, let's get you back to some college TDs here. This is the walk-off. This is Carson Beck with everyone in the world doubting him and the Georgia Bulldog fan base hating on him at every turn. Here he is with the walk-off.
Beck holds his hands out, takes, drops, looks, watch the throws.
First
and Beck into the end zone. He runs it in over the left side. Carson Beck takes it in for a Miami touchdown. Miami touchdown for Carson Beck. Is that the winning moment? It's a 3-yard touchdown.
You got it. You got it. Take it.
At that point,
that's where we get the assistant coach hugging the head coach. Yes, and just kidding.
My gosh. Here's Chambliss. Boom. He's at the 50-yard line. Boom. He's at the 30-yard line. Is he going to do it? No.
Just gets thrown aside. That coach is not coaching this week.
Man.
I love the color analyst there, Don Bailey Jr. He's like, go right.
Go left.
You got it, Carson. Don't listen to me ever again, Carson.
So good. It was great. All right, let's go to New England where, man, they're also one of our favorite booths in all of the league. Drake May, this was the lone TD in the entire game. It was pretty slim pickings. Take it away, Drake.
Drake is under center with Munford on the right wing, the extra tight end out there with a play fake. Drake on a deep drop, slides left, throws into the end zone. Hunter Henry makes the catch. He's there into the near pylon. Touchdown, Patriots.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. At least he wasn't talking over the play,
incredible.
Which normally does.
Maybe they told him, dude, for the playoffs.
Oh, five-step drop. Get back. Oh, throw it there. You know, the poor guy's
Oh, jeez.
Zoak.
That's radio. A fly drop, too, bro. Appreciate that. Hold on.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hell yeah.
That is a great drop.
That is a good drop, yep.
All right, let's see if we get any drops in here. The final edition of TD Tuesday for the week. This is San Francisco. This is the walk-off touchdown again, okay, but this is the like the UK play-by-play, okay. Or this is like the Ireland play-by-play. So let's see how they sound.
Sends Bourne in motion, stomps his foot, gets the ball, looks to his right-hand side, steps up in the pocket, throws left instead, touchdown Niners! Christian McCaffrey right on the G of the Eagles in the end zone. And in the fourth quarter, they retake the lead. San Francisco up 4-23-19. And this battered, bruised, and banged up San Francisco team just won't take it lying down.
They like it standing up, baby. Just like we love our bangers in MASH.
So you're saying, is it like Sky Sports or BBC?
It was
or?
NFL UK and Ireland.
Oh, was it?
At least that you posted the clip.
Were they doing the? Are they doing the game? Were they
must have been doing international radio. Yeah.
They were at the stadium.
Good for them.
It's awesome.
That's odd though. Wouldn't you want the American announcers? I mean, if you're speaking a different language, I get that. But I want the American flavor. I don't want to tune into a soccer game and hear American announcers calling the Premier League.
I got you.
That's fair. Yeah.
That's why I want the bangers and mash.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Give me some beans on toast.
I listen to that guy every week.
He's doing a nice job, for sure.
Man, I absolutely.
Did he say riding the genie of the Eagles into the end zone?
Right in the G of the Eagles in the end zone.
Okay.
This bruised and battered Niners team won't take it laying down.
Yeah. That was greatest,
so awesome.
Dude.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, boys.
My pleasure. Boom shakalak.
Just a couple of more TD Tuesdays left in the season. We look forward to celebrating all the best touchdowns from divisional round and I suppose national championship game coming up a week from tonight. It's time, though, for a sports hodgepodge coming up next, Eric.
Yeah, big time Anthony Davis news and perhaps more on the walrus penis next in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. You know it's time for a sports hodgepodge, usually at this time with Eric Chiafalo. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. It's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And here he is, the chief.
All right, let's see what's going on with Anthony Davis right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think, rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening to you guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, rude motherfucker.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
Okay, 6 hours ago, Sham Sharanya reported that Anthony Davis was likely to undergo surgery to repair ligament damage in his left hand and would be missing several months. He's updated that. He says Anthony Davis will not require surgery on his injured hand after a second opinion with specialist Dr. Stephen Shin in Los Angeles.
Well, well, well.
He will be reevaluated in 6 weeks. He also notes that the Mavericks have had renewed trade talks around Davis with multiple interested teams, and those conversations are continuing. So, big picture outlook will be to prioritize building around Cooper Flagg. Anthony Davis still a part of trade conversations, and if he's not going to require surgery, then I guess that is going to bode well for teams that are interested in having him for a playoff run. Yeah. I still think it's laughable. Like, if I was being honest with any one of these teams that is interested in trading for him, I'd be like, what are you doing? Why would you even consider that for a single second? Unless you just need, like, 3.5 quarters of a game. Like, if you're in a game 7 and you're at halftime and you want to acquire Anthony Davis right now for 2 quarters.
Yes, please.
You know, I can't even guarantee he's going to finish that game, but I get it, you know, at that point.
Yeah, you're going into game 7 of the finals and you're like, can we keep AD healthy for 12 minutes?
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Let's go. We've been getting killed in the paint.
It's a risk worth taking.
It is. Yeah. But I guess this means
healthy for 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
It is very unfortunate. It's sad. I think I'm actually on team don't trade AD right now because it's perfect that he's going to help you tank. Like, whatever you get back is going to help you win more games than just leaving him on your roster and then you're going to turn around, it's going to be March 1st and he's not back yet. You're like, we're just going to sit him out for the rest of the year. Like, right now, if you get Reese Shea and Kennard from Atlanta, they could help you win 2 or 3 games and all of a sudden you go from the 5 spot in the lottery to the 8 or 9 spot in the lottery. I can't afford that right now. Like 80 can actually help you have a better chance at Peterson or DeBonsa just sitting out for you. And then, you know, you can get to the offseason, and after those lottery balls have determined who's going to hold the top three or four picks, maybe you could get the 10th pick. But right now, nobody's going to be willing to give you what might be the 10th pick on the off chance they pulled the Cooper Flag miracle and they end up with a chance for Peterson or DeBonsa. So it's a tough spot to be in, but I think patience wins the day. You know, the real reason I think teams are willing to trade for Anthony Davis right now is they don't have to give up anything. I have expiring contracts and busts of first-round picks. If you'll take that, then take that.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I think that waiting and doing it in the offseason makes a lot of sense. Maybe you're probably never going to get the return that you want. I'd ideally like to get a pick. I don't care about the players. The expiring contracts are fine, but the picks are really where it's at, and right now it doesn't sound like you're getting those offers, which stinks. So you can play hardball and wait it out, but I'm also kind of starting to lean more and more to we just need to move on, and this would be the final closure in what was the Nico Luka debacle. And every time you see Anthony Davis, whether he's just sitting on the sideline and not playing in street clothes, it is a constant reminder to, I know, me and other Maverick fans of crap. That
the biggest
happened.
Failure in organizational history.
And so as exciting as Cooper Flag is, I do think there could just be something to be gained by let's just rip the Band-Aid off. I know the return stinks, and in hindsight, the history is going to look terrible on that. You know it already does, but at least you were blessed to be able to get Cooper Flag, and let's just move on and see where we can go from here.
Congratulations to former LSU, Auburn, Texas State, Tulane, Western Kentucky, and Finley. Georgia State
Finley?
Quarterback T.J. Finley, who has committed to his seventh program.
What?
He will be quarterbacking Incarnate Word for the upcoming season.
Yeah. I don't think they play bad football, by the way.
LSU, Auburn, Texas State, Tulane, Western Kentucky, and Georgia State. Oh, my gosh.
From where?
The guy that plays for the Eagles.
Jalix Hunt.
Jalix Hunt.
Yeah.
He was an Incarnate Word guy?
Yeah.
Cam Ward was there, too, before he went to Washington State. Yeah.
One of the Cowboys interviews was there, too. I don't know if it was Band or Jones, but one of those guys down there in Kernan.
Band it was, yeah.
It's a football powerhouse. Yeah. You guys want to hear Stephen A. Smith talk about football for 10 seconds?
Yeah.
All right, here he is.
We saw Charlie Kirk catch 8 receptions for 144 yards.
Yeah.
We saw I'm sorry. I apologize. Oh, my God.
Fire the cannons.
Too much political work, too, on the side, right?
That's your Dekeroff impersonation right there. I think this is part of him. He's kind of
living in that political world.
He's living more in that world each and every day.
Every day.
So now he's turning
satellite radio
athletes into political figures.
Mm. Hard to keep it all straight.
That was a heck of an apology and
recovery.
Too many
platforms. I know the feeling.
There is a freak athlete alert. This guy is 6'5", 240 pounds, and he runs a 10.55 100-meter dash. Okay, he's a D3 player, but he's now on the portal, and he's getting all sorts of looks from the big-time teams.
We tied in wide receiver, Boston.
This dude is doing? Yeah, he's an edge rusher, okay?
Oh.
He's an edge rusher at 240 pounds, 6'5", and again, he runs a 10.55 100-meter dash. He had 21 TFLs and 15 sacks this past season at a D3 school. So that'll be a fun little journey here on
name
who ends up picking him up. His name is Liam Danitz, All-American sprinter at that size. We'll see what big time program will land his services and try to get the most out of him.
The last name
That is going to be Danitz, D-A-N-I-T-Z.
Gotcha.
Yes, sir. D3 to the big time. I can't wait to see what school picks him up. And then, could you guys fill me in here? Like, how did KNC know that I was sitting on the walrus penis story?
Dude, what are you talking about?
Because I walk in and I had no idea I was getting ready to unveil the walrus penis story in Crosstalk.
I just think that Kevin Tolos and has heard you tease it before.
Have I
hacked your email?
Did you guys know about? Oh yeah, maybe my email was up. Maybe the walrus.
Could it have been?
I don't know.
Maybe the email.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
A cheesesteak place in New Jersey. It's called a Donkey's Place. And they have a walrus baculum, which is a fancy word for penis bone. Okay.
Oh, there's a bone in there?
That's what surprised me.
I thought it was just a muscle. Just a sex muscle.
Yeah. Which I guess for human beings.
Right.
But for a walrus.
Too. Reproductive organ.
Right. I just,
it's a reproductive thing.
I didn't know it was an actual bone, but like these things.
So you could break that.
You could break your baculum and what would be an all-time injury.
That would be horrific.
Bring the card out.
Breaking your back would hurt too.
Put the towel over your head.
Has anyone broken their baculum?
Right off into the tunnel.
I'm sure some actors in that business have.
But these things are like prized possessions. Like actually, in 2007,
am I right?
Yeah, Lisa Ann told us a story about this when she was on with us one night.
About a baculum?
I think she did tell us about a broken baculum.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, because we asked her about like the hazards of like, we talk about athletes and how they have to lay their bodies on the line. But same with the people in her
actors
line of work.
Actors and actresses, yeah.
Yeah, she said there are some, it can, she's seen some injuries there.
She has.
In her line of work. But in 2007,
her former line of work.
There was a 4-foot-long fossilized walrus baculum believed to be the largest in existence. It was auctioned off for $8,000.
So $8,000?
People are buying walrus penis bones for pretty big money.
Is this like magic stuff? Like countries that believe in, you know, kind of witchcraft?
That's a good question. I don't know anything about...
It's a libido
the walrus
booster.
Dong being like a witchcraft thing, but maybe, you know, I think it's kind of just like a fun artifact that people like to have as like some type of decor.
At the bar, you put that up.
So that's what they did. That's what the Donkey Place bar did. And then a couple of jokers came in there and they're like, oh, I really want to see this thing. They were like getting up close and personal and they touched the baculum and then they ran off with it. And now they're just trying to get it back. Like, they don't want to sue. They don't want to do anything.
Just please.
They just want their walrus penis back.
Return
a bunch of Richards.
Return it back to
Richards,
the rightful owner.
You know, it's amazing. The raccoon baculum is a hot commodity. Hmm. People are buying these up, $22 a pop. They're selling on the open market. And then there is a cave bear baculum that's considered very valuable and rare for collectors out there. There's a 40,000-year-old fossil from a cave bear that can be found for sale. And specialized fossil dealers are just
freaks
swapping baculums and crazy things that are going on.
25, 30, 35, 35, 40.
You want this penis bone, penis bone, penis bone. Hey!
And it's a nice bone, a penis bone.
Look at the girth
Honey,
and tonnage on this.
What did you just
spend
$8,000 on?
Yeah.
It's a walrus wang.
A T-Rex. Could you imagine what a T-Rex would go for? T-Rex baculum?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm saying short arms, not very much.
Well, hard you to think find. That applies?
He's got some big-ass feet, though, bro.
That's true.
Big-ass feet.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Why don't you look up some T-Rex baculum over there while you're doing the baculum research?
T-Rex's baculum?
Yeah. I don't know if one could get fossilized.
Yeah, it might be too late now. Maybe they're trying to, the archaeologists are out there trying to dig up one of these baculums.
There's also some unpredictable and aggressive monkeys on the loose in St. Louis.
Not
there's
this
at least
again.
Four of them. Yeah, well, this isn't one.
Are these the ones that survived in Mississippi that got loose?
No, I think
this
is something different.
Did they make their way across
different.
The border?
Let's not have another Harambe situation.
Oh, wow, this is fascinating. So there's no fossil evidence of a T-Rex baculum.
Yeah.
And scientists generally believe that the Tyrannosaurus, likely, like many other birds and reptiles, either just had no baculum or a non-bony one. Hmm. So birds are typically hidden. Their penises are hidden. And that's what they think maybe the T-Rex did.
He was hiding that thing?
Yeah. It wasn't a bony one. Wow.
Well,
dogs, bears, whales, you know the little red part that comes out?
Yeah, that's their animals thinking. Were like laughing at him.
Apex
predator.
Oh, there's
old T-Rex.
Hey, just like your short arms.
That's why he went on, is that why he went on a tear?
Yeah.
That's why he started tearing up all the kingdom out there.
Yeah,
he really wasn't a predator. He was just got tired of people making fun of his penis.
He was bullied.
So much your big feet, you idiot.
T-Rex micro dong.
I got no penis here.
He got to the bottom of their aggression.
He's the lifted truck.
Can't even see that little thing. It's inverted.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
All righty. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We got Fan After Dark, Fred and Blake coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll crosstalk with them on the other side here in the Nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Dawson had to go get his baculum checked. He'll be back with us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Mm. We now are joined by the Fan After Dark. What's up?
I was
Fred AD
toloing today as I always do.
Blakey and Elliot, how are you doing?
I
elated as always.
Lucius, you're telling me that John Forte
is out of here, bro.
And you know, Proz is in prison for the next
Proz
15
is in
years.
Prison, yep.
Proz. I guess the Fugees reunion tour is now down to chronically late Lauryn Hill and Wyclef.
Yeah, and Wyclef building cities and disappearing.
So we shouldn't hold our breath on that.
Sad,
is what you're saying.
Bro.
I'll tell you, the score was legendary. We digress. Anyway,
man, your number one hater's back, dude. That 817 guy, Eric.
Yeah, the Chia Swallows guy.
Chia Swallows, yeah.
He takes
it's
a
always,
song,
it's
too.
Always in all caps, like he's just screaming.
He yelled at me yesterday, too.
Fred, can you talk louder?
You talking louder? Your voice carries.
I mean, I think he was being
voices carry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, is it gay to talk about a walrus's penis?
I mean, you,
that's your boy right
when
there.
When you talk about it, yeah.
Chia Swallows always saying some gay ass.
I saw that. I was proud to be lumped in with that.
Chia Swallows with the animal penis talk, of course. Gay.
And my favorite part is he just copy and pasted that tweet for y'all's entire show. And then the same for Fred with Fred, you should talk louder, please, all caps throughout the whole show.
He spams it. Yeah. I can't wait to shake this guy's hand.
Do we think
day.
That's an automated bot? Or do we think he's actually clicking copy paste every 15 minutes?
Randy Marsh in his basement.
He just doesn't know how to work his own phone.
Having to go on the baculum. You know, just what's up on the show tonight, boys?
What is up on the show? Well,
just talking Mavericks.
Tell you what, why don't you go, I mean.
Stars hockey.
Blake Insider. Hockey.
Well, I mean, we'll get the football part out first. Friend of the program, Corey Chavis, is going to join us at 8 o'clock talking
draft
all things first week. And, of course, draft nasty. He's as good as anybody.
He can draft him up.
So. He had some pretty bad takes last draft. You can tell
who,
us
Corey?
That, yeah.
Corey will say some wild stuff.
No, there's one guy that I definitely disagreed on with him, but otherwise he's a fantastic listener. I love that you guys have him.
No, Corey drops a leg.
He works hard at it, man.
No, he does. No, he absolutely does.
He's the guy.
And he was a badass safety. I can't remember. I think it was a DB, so I felt bad challenging him, but I think the D. I liked
Vanderbilt,
him. He didn't like him.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Smart guy.
Did you see?
Lives in Louisville. Shout out to all the Coyotes.
Heck yeah.
In Louisville as well.
Speaking of Louisville, Keontae George coming down here pretty soon.
We got to go holler at him. I think he's going to be in town Friday.
Nice.
We'll be on the air.
Did you see the Jacksonville reporter clap back at you, Fred? Her little.
Didn't clap back at me.
Yeah, she did. She didn't like your remarks.
Did you call her unprofessional?
I said it wasn't the right time.
Oh, yeah.
She went off today.
When is the right time?
Not in a post-game press conference.
Just never?
No, because you said a bad press.
You just never know when you get to talk to the guy again, right?
I'm sure she's local media.
She's been covering
the
team forever.
She's kind of like their Chris Arnold, so I'm sure she can find a way to get in there. She's been there for 25 years. Chances are, if she wants to go talk to him one-on-one, she probably can. Because here's the thing.
After being nice to him, she can.
You set a bad precedent by doing that. So what happens if she says something bad about him? Then would we have been as open-minded about it?
Oh, well, she was just voicing her opinion.
It's kind of just like any press conference, I feel like. I think we're always kind of bashing these guys.
But here's the thing. How many people, first of all the people that were pushing back on it say, oh, it's all great. How many of them had been in post-game press conferences?
I have.
I know. Okay. And so
I can just speak for myself.
I just, if by letting everybody say, well, let me just love up the coach in a, you know, and fanboy for a second, then now... Are we asking questions? Is it a Q&A session, or is it a hey? Let's go ahead and editorialize for 30 seconds before we dive into what we're doing. And that's not to say that reporters don't ask stupid questions.
No,
of course they do.
Absolutely,
of course they do. But again, to me, there's a time and a place. You set a bad precedent by doing it, and then all of a sudden, now we're gonna have to start gatekeeping what people say, so that we got to ask. Okay, well you can go ahead and say what you want, but make sure it's okay make sure it's nice first.
I guess I don't think that it's going to lead into other people doing such things.
Are we sure about that?
I think this was a pretty isolated, unique incident.
Well, we'll see.
Where she's been there since day one of the team being founded from the Tom Coughlin days.
Yeah.
She went in there after a season that was phenomenal, where they've been struggling for 2 years.
They were a four-win team last year.
They were riding off the quarterback. Everything was going to be totally torn down and rebuilt there.
I don't remember hearing anybody from Carolina love up Dave Canales after his press conference.
I don't think they had anybody quite like Mrs. Jones.
So as long as you're tenured and been around a while, then you can go ahead and do it.
I think it's just a unique.
Would you have gone after Stroud last night the way he played in the post game if he was up there? Would you have gone after
I would
him?
Have absolutely. I mean, I would have asked him because you know this as well. And look, we've played this on air.
I'm asking the question.
I know you are. you have to ask hard questions of these guys.
You absolutely
but
do.
But you have to be careful about how you do it. And I think, I mean, look, you heard our audio this year. I mean, how many times have we asked Clowney, Fowler, Sam Williams?
Oh, no.
You know?
Yeah, no, I think you guys do a tremendous job.
I mean, it's not easy, but you have to do it. I mean, look, I had Kenneth Murray look at me like he wanted to punch me in the throat. Donovan Wilson wouldn't even talk to me after one game.
Yeah.
All right? So, again, it's like, and I'm not trying to be an a-hole when I do it. And I know you're not. I know you're not. But, again, it's just, it's a delicate balance. Right. And look, I'm a little bit older school, right, than some folks. And so, look, I remember being in those Texans locker room when they were 2-14.
Sure.
Okay. You know how hard it is to ask Connor Barwin and Dwayne Brown every week? You guys have lost 12 in a row. What happened out there?
12 in a row is crazy.
If you were to start off the interview with an uplifting comment like she made,
you have
and
to
then continue to ask hard questions,
ask
what's the issue with that?
I have zero. Right? Look, it's all. Look, Ted Johnson.
Did she end up asking a question?
No. She asked no questions. She loved him up for 30 seconds. Hold your head up high. Okay, thanks. It's a grown man making millions of dollars.
Because I didn't listen to the whole.
No, cut off.
I didn't
cut off.
Exactly. But if we went back and listened to the whole presser, maybe she did.
I don't.
Maybe
she
didn't follow up. Well, that was the only clip that went viral.
Yeah.
So I don't know for sure that she didn't follow up and ask any other questions. I guess that's my feeling towards it. I just think it's kind of an isolated incident.
Yeah.
It's not really going to go beyond this.
I thought
it was kind of a nice change of pace to get a little bit of uplifting, nice words in there.
Hey, watch your mouth, woman!
I didn't think it was a big deal.
Zach, would you agree? I'm kind of on the fence about this, but I'm leaning more towards Fred's thinking. Would you agree that us dealing with the Cowboys, me being with the Mavs, anytime you go on a Mavs game, there is areas after you do the press conference, in between the press conference room and the locker room, where credentialed media that's built a relationship, a Chris Arnold, a Nick Harris, you guys, they can go and talk to the players one-on-one and ask or say, hey, you had a great season this year, man. Sorry about all the hard questions, or hope your family's doing good, or keep your head up high. Like, you, there are moments to do that. It's not as if they spawn from the locker room to the press conference room. They're walking. So would you agree that there is a space to do that? I don't think me or Fred have a problem with the question.
Yeah, there could be a space to do it. There could be. Sometimes there's not, though. Sometimes these players, let's get the hell out of here.
I've never gone to Jacksonville, so I don't know.
The coach gets off the podium and is like, I got other things. The PR guys rush him away. So there might not have been, but I didn't.
If there was a,
I didn't
if there was
practice
a,
on Monday?
If there was a Monday.
They don't have practice.
If there was a Monday close-up press conference, maybe that's the time.
Closing press conference. That's it.
If they're not going to have a Monday thing, I get what she did. I mean, I'm not going to
say. Does every team not have an end-of-the-season press conference?
Maybe some don't. Maybe some don't.
I would assume most do, so that I would think that would be a spot.
I would think they do, too.
Even if she does it in a press conference, which I think she shouldn't have.
The fact that she did it was going to get questioned by others regardless on the setting. As long as it's in a press conference setting, it's apparently unprofessional.
If it happens,
it just sounds goofy, man.
Like, what are we doing? What, was this high school?
Zach, would you agree this happens?
No.
Thought it was sweet. We need some positivity.
I don't. It just doesn't.
If it happens at the end of the season press conference, Woolchuck, do you think people are caring as much? I think everyone's eyeballs were on this because it was after a playoff game.
It probably would not have gone as viral.
Maybe just Jacksonville media would have caught it, but it wouldn't have been national news if it happened at their Jacksonville's end of the season presser.
How would you have handled that if you were the coach?
I mean, what are you going to do? Just nod like he did. Just nod and say thanks.
I think he kind of liked it.
I'm sure he did.
I think he appreciated the fact that someone, like, all year long, they've been winning games, but maybe he just facted, like, you know, he was kind of like, yes, ma'am.
It's also such a different
market. What he's going to say.
Okay, why are we having, like, Liam Cohen as this besmudged new coach? He just started coaching in Jacksonville.
And his first introductory presser, he got eviscerated by everybody.
Because of how he said something.
It was the eyebrows. Just like, whoa, who is this weird nerd that we've just hired? And their general manager looks like he's about 12 years old.
He's like, what, 34, 35?
They got dunked on and made fun of. And then they go off and have an amazing
season. I liked
the
Liam Cohen Duval.
He was rooting for Jacksonville all year.
Raise your hand if you picked Jacksonville to win the AFC South before the season started. Ball knowers. Thank you. You're welcome.
We
can agree to disagree on that, but I'll tell you what. Again, I have no problem with what she said. By the way, their subscriptions to her paper have gone through the roof.
Sure.
Okay?
Money well spent.
So kudos to her, like I said, but there is something to be said for professional decorum.
All right, Fan After Dark coming up next. More of these hot takes. These boys are smoking. Yeah. Freddie D.
Says Walter Cronkite over
coming
there.
Coming up next. Until tomorrow at 2. This is the G-Bag Nation. Hugs and hand pounds, everybody.